Woman Crush Wednesday, it's the moment we sit down with an incredible, trailblazing woman who's just living her life and inspires us every day by doing just that. And today is no different. We have a wonderful woman. She's got a new online book. It's called This Book Contains Carbs. For almost 30 years, Lisa van Niekerk lived with the exhausting mental battle of an eating disorder before deciding it was time to speak out. Today, she's in studio. She is 2 weeks away from becoming a brand new mama, and she's also walk the journey in marriage once and twice, and now life is just so different for you. Welcome, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you, Carol. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I mentioned earlier that we've never covered this topic before on the show, and I'm so grateful that the way we're covering it is through your honest lived experience of living with an eating disorder.
Thank you.
Let's start there.
Okay.
When did it begin, and how did you know that there was a problem? And yeah, start there for us.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah.
So my eating disorder started officially when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a time where we didn't have the influences that we have around. So we really had basic, you know, you had your magazines. It was in the 90s. You know, you weren't constantly bombarded with everything that people are today, yet somehow it still managed to find its way into me. And I was a normal 12-year-old girl with a normal body. I love sports. I love swimming. Wow. And a friend one day came to me and said that I was fat.
Huh.
And I had never even considered that before. It wasn't something that went through my mind. And she started to bring me diet pills and cellulite cream. And I remember rubbing it on my legs and not even knowing what cellulite was. Mm. But I just knew that I had to get rid of it because apparently I was fat. And not physically, but mentally.
Hmm.
And that's sort of where it started. And I started to become very conscious about food and my weight. And I started to diet and I started taking diet pills. And this all comes from a place of having a really slender 12-year-old body who loved to swim. I gave up sports completely because I was too embarrassed to be in a swimming costume. And there was actually nothing wrong with my body at all.
Yeah, and at 12, you're developing. Like, that is like you, 100%. As a teenager, you're going into being a little young woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, so that's how it started. And it never ended until late into my 30s.
Late into your 30s. Yeah. And where did you discover, or when did you realize, I need help with this condition? And where did you go for that?
So the eating disorder, sort of towards my late 20s, I suddenly realized that this was not normal.
Mm.
And I developed the way that I ate as a teenager and as a young adult with an eating disorder. So it was so normal for me. Mm. There was no other way to do it. You counted calories, you ate to certain things, that's what you did, that's how you ate. And it was only in my late 20s when I was living in London that I suddenly realized that this wasn't normal.
Mm.
And I was looking around at people and I realized they don't see food the same way that I do.
Yeah.
They don't go to a restaurant having pre-prepared what they had to order days in advance, or cancel plans because you're so terrified to go to that particular place because you're not sure if you can resist eating the high-calorie food. And it was at that moment that I realized that I needed help, that food had become completely all-consuming for me. And I tried to deal with it for a few years on my own, but just landed up going back into dieting, and eventually found a really amazing course called Taste Life in the UK, which I'm actually now a qualified counsellor with.
Oh, lovely.
And they really just opened my eyes, and it was a beautiful holistic course set in the church, and it wasn't super medical. Mm. It was very much relatable on a day-to-day basis and help me on a day-to-day get through it.
And if you can describe for us the kind of eating disorder you were dealing with, what kind of eating disorder? Because I think a lot of people, when we think of eating disorders, we're either thinking bulimia, which is where you overeat and then you regurgitate the food.
100%.
And then there's anorexia, where you just don't eat at all. And that's my very narrow-minded understanding of eating disorders. But I know it's probably a full rainbow of different levels and different aspects of it. How would you describe your type of eating disorder?
I tried them all.
Mm.
I, you know, over 20, 25 years, I tried them all.
Mm.
I tried anorexia, but starving myself was not something that I really managed to do, not to make light of it, but it wasn't something that I was able to do. I was never very good at it, so to speak.
Right.
Bulimia is what I was eventually diagnosed with. So for me, it was overeating, starving, and then either purging it or overexercising, actually, was my way. So I would add up the calories I would eat in the day and I would work them off.
Wow.
So I would add up the 600, 700 calories. I would make sure that I burnt those calories off by the end of the day.
Goodness.
I was walking to work. I was gymming after work. I was getting up at 4 a.m. in London running. But it was all just sometimes I'd get up at 11:30 at night if I'd overeaten that day, and I'd get out and I'd go run at 11:30 at night through the streets because I couldn't sleep because of what I'd eaten that day. I had to make sure that there was no calories left on at the end of the day, not burnt.
My goodness. Do you know that there's a few people, or even just one person right now, who's having an epiphany that maybe I have an eating disorder? Because the things you're describing right now are symptoms for someone right now who's literally living that life of, I had too much to eat, I have to go to the gym for 3 hours today because I had a pizza slice.
100%.
You know?
There is a definition, though, if I may, between the eating disorder and disordered eating. And it is something that I think is the area that we don't speak enough about. An eating disorder is a mental illness that has been diagnosed clinically: anorexia, bulimia, overeating, binge eating. But there are millions of us living in a disordered eating state where we haven't quite been diagnosed with an eating disorder, but food controls a lot of our day. It controls our mind. It controls our thoughts. And if not diagnosed and if not stopped, it could potentially lead to an eating disorder. But either way, it's going to make your day miserable. You know, you know, disordered eating is something that's not spoken about. It's the constant dieting, the constant changing of your lifestyle around food that hasn't quite gotten to the stage of anorexia or bulimia, but it still affects your every single day, your decisions, your choices. And that's a big part of what the book is about, is touching on those people who haven't taken it quite so far, but still live in a place of misery every day around food.
Mm. So Lisa, we spoke about how you discovered that you were living with an eating disorder and eventually going and finding help. But then part of you also finding help is writing this book. And this book contains carbs, is what it's called. Tell us more about this book. But before you even get there, I want to just read the first opening. It says, "Hi there. Quick heads up before we dive in. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, and I'm not a dietitian. I'm just a human who has argued with a bagel and lived to tell the tale." When someone gets this book, what are we getting into?
So my hope for the book is that you read it and you go, this is my everyday life.
Mm.
You know, the clinical part of eating disorders is sometimes hard to relate to, even as somebody who has one. But there's a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, meal-to-meal life that you have to live with an eating disorder. And when you go into recovery, it is so hard and sometimes daunting to add all the clinical jargon and all the things you should be doing and are not doing correctly. And this book is there to, it's got a lot of humor in it. Mm. Not that eating disorders are in any way funny, but I've lived it. Mm. So I have the right to speak about it.
100%.
And sometimes it is absurd, the things that we believe, the things that we allow ourselves to believe, the things that we tell ourselves on a daily basis regarding food, the external rules. And that actually, when you read it in the book and you read it on the page, you go, what am I doing?
Mm.
This is ridiculous. This is me, but it's absurd that I'm allowing myself to live this way.
Right.
So it's a very real, from a person who's lived it, point of view, where you can read it. And a lot of people have said this to me when they've read the book, wow, like, I've read it and I just thought that was normal. And when you put it onto page, it's ridiculous that I allow myself to be controlled by things like this.
Mm.
And when you read it on the page, sometimes it really brings into clarity the things you've allowed yourself to believe and how absurd they really are.
Wow. And where do we get this book if people want to get their hands on it?
So I have an Instagram page. It's called Healing Out Loud 2025.
Okay.
And it's available on kindle.co.uk the Kindle version, and also on paystack.com for South African users.
I love that. I love that. And as Lisa's sitting here, she is 2 weeks away from her miracle baby, your first baby ever. Talk to us about the excitement 2 weeks away.
No, we are so excited. We're 16 days and counting. We've been trying for her for 8 years, and throughout all the odds, we've managed to fall pregnant. And you know, I'm 41, and I was told I couldn't do this, and here we are, 16 days away from my little girl coming.
Oh, congratulations, congratulations! Now, you also were married before, divorced, and got married again. This is your second marriage. Yep. What was navigating relationships like for you with a eating disorder?
So it really did take control of my first relationship. I got married at 18, and then by 29 we were divorced. But for that big chunk of my life, the eating disorder was at its worst. Mm. And I touch on it a bit in the book how when I was going through my divorce, my eating disorder was at the worst point, and that actually completely overshadowed the divorce. Mm. That I was dealing so much with the eating disorder that my divorce kind of just passed me by. Mm. And only in hindsight, when I look back at it, I go, wow, the biggest thing in my life at that time should have been the breakdown of my marriage. But the eating disorder was such a severe obsession that it actually just kind of passed to the wayside whilst I focused on the food, focused on the rules, focused on all those things. It took over, yeah, it took precedence over what really should have been a time of me internally looking and resetting my life. I was obsessing over food.
You're obsessing over food. Yosha mentioned on air to me that a lot of people don't understand that diets sometimes are a gateway to eating disorders. Talk to us about that.
So in my experience, in my lived experience, mm-hmm. diets cause eating disorders. Mm-hmm. When you constantly eat via external rules, you lose the internal cues that we're naturally born with as to how to eat. Food becomes about what's good, about what's bad, about what I can have, what I can't have, about how much I can have. Instead of just waking up in the morning going, it's breakfast time, and eating breakfast, it is this constant planning. And I honestly never thought, if you had told me 10 years ago that I would wake up in the morning on a Wednesday and not know what I'm eating for breakfast, I would have told you it's impossible. Mm. And here I am this morning, I wake up, what am I going to have? And I make that decision. And it is so incredibly freeing because I no longer live by the external rules. I live by waking up in the morning and it's breakfast time. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah. Where do people go for help if someone's realizing that they have an eating disorder or they have complications around food? Where do they go for help?
So I think it depends on how severe along the line you are. Obviously, as I said before, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. If you do have suspected full-blown eating disorder, you need to see a GP. You need to see a doctor. You've got to start in the medical field because it is a mental illness once it gets to that stage, and you do need proper help for it. Mm. There are a lot of courses online. Tastethelife.co.uk is the one that I used. And you can go there for resources. You can get in contact with me and I can put you in contact with the places that you need to go to for help. If you think you might be on the verge, do research on disordered eating. Mm. You know, don't be afraid. It doesn't mean you have a full-blown eating disorder, but if you're feeling that food is making you uncomfortable and there's anything more than just a meal, that's maybe worth taking a deeper look at.
Yeah. And lastly, what is your advice for someone who's just had an epiphany that they may have an unhealthy relationship with food?
It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's completely okay. I guarantee you that the person sitting next to you at work probably also has. And the person, you know, driving in traffic next to you probably also has. It is amazing how many people out there have an unhealthy relationship with food. And my advice would be just to be like, okay, this is okay. And take hope for the fact that this does not have to be your life forever. Yeah. That there is a famous quote by Kate Moss. She's a supermodel, and she said, "Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels." Mm. And freedom does. Mm. Freedom tastes better than that. And if you allow yourself to find help, if you allow yourself to dig a little bit deeper, you can actually live a life free from those constraints that you've been living with on a daily basis.
Oh, Lisa, amazing, amazing. The author of a new book, an online book called This Book Contains Carbs, Lisa van Niekerk. You can get the book online via kindle.co.uk, you said, as well as
Paystack.
And we can find you on socials. What's your handle again?
It's Healing Out Loud 2025.
Thank you so much, Lisa. All the best.
Thank you.
Send us pictures when she arrives.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much
for having me.
That's Lisa van Niekerk, author of a new online book called This Book Contains Carbs.
Carol Ofori, KZN's number one hit music station, East Coast Radio.